Bible Bucket Chapter 12. It feels like it's been a lot longer than a few hours. Now that the voices are back, perhaps you can get some guidance. Notebook, some strange landmark Ickit's basement and by Ickit's goods route completed. Remaining items on the list are Find New, Recovering, Queen and Sousa, Melty's books really well for eating, and Figure Out Tablets. You still have no idea where New is, or should you call him Epsilon now? You haven't checked on Queen and Sousa of the Fireflowers in a very long time. You don't know how to take care of the ice block problem. You don't have the vial, and you have found 3 tablets, but don't know where to apply them. It is granted that you need to get out of the labyrinth. It seems pretty unnecessary to add. Labyrinth. You have been through quite a few rooms after splashing into the water hours ago. Although disgusting, the rooms have been cleared out. Almost the very second the voices came back, you start hearing about recovered bodies you've never seen, and encouragement to fix the robot lizard you were working on. Well, the robot seems to have been left there, but the first few rooms seemed like they had been cleaned up for later. But as you went on, things went through hell! Whoever was resetting this labyrinth abandoned it around halfway through. Luckily for you, activating it on accident and being sent to a burn walk to the bridge of Mr. Maroons. Teleporting didn't particularly make it very difficult for you to travel. You found some more tools to help with mechanics and repairing, and you found these ruby. These are the fruits of your tedious journey through empty rooms. Unfortunately, despite your ability to fix the metal failure, he isn't activated, and you don't know how to finish the job. You're going to have to either leave him there mostly repaired, or store him in your perk at dimension, because the guards know he will not fit in your perk. Decisions! For longer term readers that know what's going on, you can add a couple of items to the notebook in your effort to get off this island. It's pretty much given you're going to take this robot. The voices are very excited for reasons you're not aware of, but it might be why there's a long silence. Let's get out of here! Notepad. Added. Finish restoring robot. Inventory. Pocket dimension. Robot. Empty magic jar. King. Mission G Frog. Hell's Free. Pornographic magazine. Epsilon's Wanted Poster, Electrician's Handbook, Blue's Old Cone Mix, Table Locker, Yellow Gemstone, Floppy Disk, Epsilon's Key, Blue Metal Piece, Pouch, Space Goggles, Range and Assorted Other Tools, Gas Mask, Necromancy Book. Mental Map. You started in the water, but your memories of the dirtiness compared to the voices of our collection are surprisingly different. The condition of the water was much better currently than it used to be. The next few rooms were relatively empty and cleaned up. It wasn't really that bad until you got that long, round room in the north with the broken equipment and the dirt floor. The room must be the one with the balance beam. You went in there to check it out and had some sort of swish that moved the grating on the floor where the beam was. You didn't do anything for you because the room was up to your dry. It was possibly a draining system. Then there was some mirror beds, tile room, some big house of whatever on an incline. Then the room where you were with the robot, you go south into a room with a thin hole and a grate sitting on the south wall. There's an opening to go up.
Aura. You've gained a slightly better understanding of your aura. You can see your aura now.
A color underneath a sally.
A sally's leniency towards certain actions and certain effects of her abilities are dependent on your aura.
Robot.
Your voices seem to have great understanding of your green metal friend, and that perversion will awaken him.
You are fairly sure rest has nothing to do with it.
When you are putting him together, many of his internal parts were damaged or fried when he was destroyed.
Some even melted.
You don't know. You don't have anything you would need to complete it. Nor is a power source the solution. Once he's fixed up and repaired with the right parts,
I'd probably stand up with or without your tits. Although it is a nice notion that I made life, Sigvons. You inspect the hole where the grating likely once sat inside. It smells really bad, like blood and gore was sitting in there for way too long. You cough and go past the crushed grating before teleporting up through the opening. Soon after you step forward, the place seems to shift, and the lighting changes. You are now in a room full of mirrors. It's not entirely a normal thing, but almost none of the mirror images seem identical to you, and none of them seem more twisted over time. Without the goggles on, this room is much darker and it looks even weirder. If you don't remember much about the Osmix goggles, they reveal a lot of things about your surroundings, even at the lighting for your vision and among many things. If something was an illusion, you wouldn't see it. Illusions, especially the magical type, wouldn't work with them. The reflections return to normal when you put the goggles back on. All of them are now mostly normal looking except for two of them. The blue and red looking other versions of yourself are pointing at you. The blue looks extremely sad, and the red one looks amused, although they do seem to be pointed closer to your feet. As for dancing, you don't really feel like dancing, but you promise to dance once you can find Epsilon again. Now you're making deals and promises with the voices in your head.
How fantastic! Also, beyond the two reflections pointing at you, all the rest are completely normal and are doing what you do, including holding Mission. Mission does not seem impressed or interested in these mirrors. It was definitely not something up to his highly trained skill set. You look down at your feet. Sure enough, there's something down there. You have opened the hatch, which reveals a pull chain.
What do you want?
You say towards them reflections with the lights of their own?
The red one seems to cackle more as it smells out words against the mirror.
The blue one follows your actions, seeming to reply, my reflection is one would expect from a mirror. You shiver, trying to focus more on the hatch. The words on the mirror remind you of something, but you can't place the memory.
You use precognition.
The red reflection continues to cackle, pounding and clawing at the mirror. You grip the chain firmly in your left hand. With your right, you make a fist and extend out your pinky and ring finger alone. This is possibly the most crude gesture you could make towards someone, is this flipping the bird. Idea means absolutely nothing to you. Hopefully this will suffice. There's a loud ka-chunk before all the mirrors seem to fade lower to the floor. Meanwhile, the floor erupts around you, spiraling upwards. You have erected a staircase to an upper floor. It takes a moment for the noises in the stairs to stop their ascent. Afterwards, it's eerily silent all around you. Nothing but you and the stairs. You ascend. A doorway near the top has the symbol of the followers of the waning of the moon. The followers of Yun-Yu. Teleporting to the flowers is quite a stretch. You still don't know how deep underground you are, so it would be difficult to place yourself versus the distance you need to travel. You can do that once you make it out of here if you really want to. You enter the door. Inside of the door is a throne room. This was most obviously originally a shrine of some sort for the waning of the moon. A religion following the moon and their leader Yun-Yu. This has long been abandoned for that purpose since the colony settled here was long sent away taken control by the king. The throne was probably set in by a leader of the church. Behind the throne is a stone relief of Yun-Yu and his four personal guards, which he referred to as his pets. Yun-Yu was a very strong fae, but his guardians were arguably more. Yun-Yu believes strongly in building the universe. He is a very diplomatic person. He believes that racial differences can be ignored with a sense of politeness. He does not tolerate impolite natures at all. He is, as most fae,
are known for his sexual appetite as it is extremely charming. There was a time where the followers of the moon were driven out from the capital of Mingzhou and executed by
the Brotherhood of the Sun.
A few survivors, including
Yan Yu,
traveled into the desert and built a hidden shrine. Many years later, when
Yan Yu
was much older, he made peace with surrounding countries and leaders.
Yan Yu
completely overtook
Mingzhou
and destroyed the
Brotherhood of the Sun.
And one day during a
solar eclipse,
with the help of four other armies, since then
Yan Yu
has led the country. That is about all you know of him. His following is centered in
Mingzhou,
which is a foreign country to you.
The king of the Rainbow Islands
took over this underground shrine long ago and turned it into what it is today. You take a guess, the people used to sit here and entertain themselves while people ran through the labyrinth. There's another door past the throne, but it's not nearly as decorative. You walk behind the throne and mess around with it for a moment. It looks like there used to be some great treasure hidden inside of here. Well, what you find is a fuse. You look around the area very thoroughly, and this is the peak of your findings.
At least it wasn't a complete waste of time.
You've already checked those cushions. They are very luxurious cushions while you're thinking about them, if it didn't smell terrible. And you had already been stuck down in this place for hours. You might want to sit down and stare into the darkness like a queen for a while. Once you are satisfied and have copped enough feels from inanimate objects and trying every possible action you can think to try and acquire hidden item or scene, you finally go to a doorway! Inside the new room, if you could call it a room, is a set of engravings on the floor. It is signed on the wall intended for who you assume were the people who never completed cleaning or resetting the place several years back. What could this room's purpose be?
You check the back of the sign. It looks like some of the workers weren't always on the ball. You don't have the medallion in your inventory, but you stand at the center. It glows red and activates. Where did you go? It feels like your entire body is asleep for a second, and all your senses cut off. It's an almost entirely unpleasant experience.
You are back on the slab. The medallion is gone and it smells like heavy smoke. The night sky looks pretty nice after being in there so long. Now you're free to do about anything on the island.
You were up once, but it's not nearly far enough to get all the way across the island to Queen Atsusa. You finally arrive, and she's not much of a sight to see. The queen is shriveled up. And the blackness seems to be running through her. She raises her withering flower of a head and speaks as you approach.
I was beginning to think you forgot about me. I hope you can still help my children, but it may be too late for me.
Her voice is crackly and weak. It's most likely a good thing you came here so soon. She doesn't seem to have much more time.
You frown and step over to the exposed black tendril-looking thing over to the side. You tug and pull at it hard. It doesn't give way easily, but when it does, the area seems to shake. There is movement all over the place, as all of the black vine-looking things all over the cave start erupting to life.
Hey, what are you doing? It hurts so much!
The queen cries out and writhes in pain. You've not said anything to her, and now it seems like you don't even need to pull too much more. Something is coming out for you.
You step back once you notice tugging further as unnecessary, and take out your hammer. Queen Atsusa, I believe I found your problem. I'm sorry if I caused you pain, but I am growing. The vines are formed into something much larger and dangerous than you anticipated. It snaps its jaws closed and then opens them to release a flame. Its many tentacles holding up its form while more of it pours out of the hole where you pull at the root. To kill whatever this thing is, I hope.
The monster moves before you can. It lunges at you, lashing out to grab you with some of its many tentacles. But you leap and stumble over its back. In retaliation, you swing your hammer haphazardly and take a strong orange-handed thwack at it. It shakes from the blow, but no outward damage is done. You have a much better chance of hitting its eyes up here if you keep your balance. The queen's hiding in her cave. She doesn't seem to react when you slammed your hammer into the beast, so you can make a safe guess they aren't linked. Judging from its attack that erupted where you were a moment ago, is another safe bet that if caught, it's going to hurt a lot.
You keep lowering her forward towards the head and swing your tail to throw more power into your hammer. You slam it into at least 2 of the beast's 8 eyes. It splatters outwards from the crushing force. It rolls in pain, stumbling and writhing around.
You are stabbed in the left foot before you can even think. The pain jolts through your body. You step into a teleport and empty your sidewall into another attack, smashing in 2 or 3 more of its eyes on the other side. You don't have much time to observe your powerful attack as you are ensnared on tentacles and gored in the stomach for your effort. In the act, you have dropped your hammer. You cry out in pain, and you are pretty sure you've just been inducted with venom twice.
You struggle and scream at the creature in defiance and pain. In the meanwhile, it slams you around into the rocky wall. You manage to slide your skeleton arm out from under the tight hold of the tentacles, and you take a tight hold onto your hammer. You feel the heat as it sparks up a small flame, roaring angrily down in your much smaller form.
You blink. When you open your eyes, you can only see out of the left. The flames are looking at your face, and without so much of a thought, you use your warp to save yourself from the fire. You warp distorts, and you go absolutely nuts with your hammer before you even fully come out of it onto your feet. The monster collapses to the ground and just oozes out. Your breaths are heavy and painful. You can feel yourself getting weaker. You can barely hold your hammer, but you are victorious. You blink again, and your vision is back.
You turn around and lay your final smash down on the creature's head before you put your weapon away. You weakly step towards the queen while the black being slowly vanishes in a huge puddle like the rest of them have. While you walk, with the darkness away, small flowers begin to rise up all over the cavern vines. The temperature rises a few degrees. The queen smiles, her blackening withered form crackling as she moves, shaking while she holds a bottle towards you.
I do not know what you have done, but you have saved my children. This fairy potion is all I have to really repay you. I really hope it can help you. And I feel you have failed because I am fading away. I am full of joy that my little ones will live. Thank you so much, Unstyly.
She falls back and resumes heaving inside her small cavern home. Your aura has changed. Your body hurts and is weak, and you have no way of knowing if it has resisted poison, being that you haven't been poisoned before.
You look around. The little fire flowers are very quiet. You ask, can I hear you speak? You wait a brief moment and decide that you either cannot or don't have the heart to do so right now before you leave. You need the fuse and the wires to open the door in the West Garden area. You got the fuse, but strangely, you don't have the wires. And if not for quite a spell, you will need to reacquire the wires to go there. They haven't been anywhere you've walked recently either, and you're walking around where you found them currently. You decide to go to Epsilon's place. This is quite a long walk to the forest, into the forest that using your key you go in. To no surprise, nobody's in here. You take the big smell of smoke again, like at the labyrinth entrance formerly known as the strange landmark. You favor your wounds and lay down on the bed to rest. Your clothes are getting extremely ruined and beat up, and your body's still weak, and you feel even worse. You are near passing out. Right now, all you can think about are Min and Epsilon. Either or both of them being with you right now would make you feel better. Hell, it would make you feel less alone.
You set Messenger Frog on the bed, and mark the queen on your notepad.
You have no desire to cuddle with a metal lizard. That is by no means comfortable. You consider going to see Mint at her place, but you don't really have the strength to go there. Your eyes close. You pass out.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, man. Sorry. I have looked everywhere for you. You keep running away. I just wanted to tell you to come find my master. I must have scared you.
It takes in a huge heaving breath. You feel an incredible amount of pain and move around. The figures in front of you distort and swirl around as you feel touches all over your body.
I'm sorry. Oh, you're asleep, aren't you? Well, I did my job. Please hurry. We're very cold.